Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome to another Saturday edition, The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Along with Pablo Cruz.
One of these days you will play Pablo Cruz and surprise me.
Boss Gags.
And Derek, thank you for joining us and producing.
Not a problem.
Okay, so I'm already in that mood. Here we go. Lots to get to today, especially in the international stage. Before we do, I want to get to something a little more local that I think is important because even though we have fun on the show, we try to educate people. Try. So you've been seeing the ads from Governor wannabe Mark Schauer, and he's been beating this drum for months and months and months, probably just about the whole election, that Rick Snyder has cut education funding. And his latest commercial shows four teachers saying, oh, these decimated our classroom, basically. Well, according to the Liberal Free Press newspaper, not true, because Snyder counters with I have increased funding, and indeed, according to the facts, total funding for a 12K schooling system in Michigan has increased every year Rick Snyder has been in office. So I don't want to hear about it from any of you crazy liberal Democrat whatevers lying, basically, stating that education funding in Michigan has been cut. It has not. Let me repeat. Education funding since Rick Snyder came into office has increased. Total funding for 12K has increased. And I'm going to tell you right now, statewide, the number of state dollars spent on K-12 education has increased every year Governor Snyder's been in office, rising from $11.1 billion in 2011-2012 school year to $11.2 billion 2012-2013, and $11.6 billion in 2013 to 2014. That's according to the Senate Fiscal Agency, okay? Those are the facts. No disputing them. Mark Schauer and that ad put out, I think, by the Democratic Governors Association is a flat-out lie. And Rick Snyder has asked them to take it off, which, yeah, you know what? They lie. That's what they do. Most, I think, political ads are like that. But I wanted to make sure that people know that. When you see these ads from Mark Schauer, the man is a liar now and will be a liar when he gets into office. So think twice before you pull that lever that says Mark Schauer. Think twice before you vote for a third party. And think twice before you stay at home and do absolutely nothing.
And Rick Snyder has increased funding, like you've mentioned. And Mark Schauer will increase it probably that much more, probably with tax increases. And my gut feel, just a gut feel, is out of that $11 billion or so, almost $12 billion, probably about $4 billion of that is just total waste that could be cut.
Yeah.
If we really wanted to revolutionize, revamp the whole school system, we could spend less money and have better results.
Absolutely. I mean, the very fact that some very conservative Tea Party guys are not voting for Rick Snyder or are complaining about Rick Snyder should tell those independents and even those Democrats, you know what? Rick Snyder is not to the far, far right. Okay? So you're not hurting your own Democratic cause by saying that. If you vote for Mark Schauer, you're hurting yourself as a Democrat, you're hurting yourself as a Republican, you're hurting yourself as an independent. So please, we're 30 days away at this point, today is the 4th, 30 days away from the election. Do your homework, people. Don't take my word for it. Go out and do the homework. I mean, Google it up, do your research, find out what the truth is. And the truth in this matter is education funding is up. So those of you, especially you teachers who are getting the runaround from your union, no, education funding is up. And those four teachers in that ad, each of their school districts have actually had increases. So those four teachers are liars as well.
Par for the course.
Par for the course. Bunch of union hacks. That's mm-hmm. what it comes down to. And you can thank the MEA for working with Mark Schauer and his team of liars to put that one together.
So what you're saying is vote for Governor Rick Snyder?
One tough nerd.
He's done, on the whole, a far superior job than Jennifer Granholm.
Yeah, he isn't, like, just totally taken down the whole state like Jennifer Granholm did.
Yes, keeping us, well, that one drain commercial, there you go. But, yeah, he's done a good job. The balance, the budget is balanced. We've got a surplus. May not be as big a surplus as he's not perfect. What politician is, you know?
Granholm was just an embarrassment.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we wanted to move on. I do want to say our sponsor this half hour will be The Current newspaper. Now, the October edition just came out, should be in your mailboxes, those of you that are lucky enough to get it. If you aren't lucky enough to get it, you can go to currentonline.com and pull it up, and it's on the flip doc format, so you can scroll through it just like you would a normal newspaper. Better, because you can bring it up close to your eyes if you have to, so like I do. Because I don't like to wear my glasses. I'm a bad boy, aren't I?
I'm not going to go there. I don't know.
Okay.
You're a bad boy.
I'm a bad boy. All right. So let's move on. There was an interesting article, and I wanted to talk to you about it today, is your good friend, Kim Jong-un.
We haven't heard from him in a while, and I'm actually a little worried about him.
Yeah, well... according to reports, there has possibly been a coup attempt in North Korea because Pyongyang, the capital, has been locked down, and they're saying it's either a coup attempt or there have been some top-level military people that are thinking about leaving, getting out, and they want to kind of shut it
down. That's not a good idea for anybody that wants to get out.
Yeah,
once you're in, you're in.
You're in. There's no leaving North Korea on good terms, I don't think. You can ask that young gentleman that's serving 6 years of hard labor. Why would you go to North Korea and do anything like that?
Every once in a while, you get some oddball kook that does something like this. I think it was maybe during the... No, it was in the 60s, I believe. There was an American that... crossed over, he defected. He was in the army and he defected into North Korea and he was held there and he was just like released within the last several years, within the last 5-6 years, I want to say. And I think he got married over there and everything, but he always wanted to come back and he was going to be put on trial for desertion. I can't remember the exact details of it, but do you remember this at all? Does it sound vaguely familiar?
I do.
Yeah, it was an older guy. You know?
Yeah. Let's take this quick call from Forrest from Chelsea about Rick Snyder. Go ahead, Forrest.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you could explain to me about the Blue Cross deal Rick Snyder cut with them, whereas they pay taxes. And it was so hush-hush, I didn't hear a word about it anywhere.
Yeah, I have heard that as well, and I won't dispute the fact that Rick Snyder is not my favorite governor. There's been a number of things he's done that I don't like. I didn't like the Medicaid expansion. I don't like the bridge crossing. I certainly don't like giving Blue Cross any special treatment either. But when it comes down to election day and you have to pull that lever, you got to look at which of the two choices will hurt you the least. I mean, and that's the way you got to look at it. It's a shame in this day and age that we have to look at our political leaders as the least evil pick of the two, but Rick Snyder is, I would say he's far from evil. He's done some good, far much better than Jennifer Granholm. And you know what? If you do anything other than support Rick Snyder, you're supporting Mark Schauer. And that means, I know we've got listeners who like to play that third-party gig. I'm all up for third parties, but it starts at a low level. Start at your township, start at the county level, and they need to work their way up and build a base. You can't just jump in and say, I'm going to have a third-party governor. It's not going to work. It doesn't work, you know. But you're probably right, Forrest. I have heard that same story about Blue Cross. I haven't followed it real closely. Did you have anything else?
That's a darn shame that that was so hush-hush covered up.
Yeah, well, mainstream media is...
More and more, you can't even contact them anymore. The cost of my insurance went up. And I don't think it was a fair deal, and it should be public knowledge, not hidden.
Yeah. Yeah, I just went on to a COBRA plan, and let me assure you, Forrest, that You want to talk about an eye-opener. I feel terrible for people who are self-employed and have to buy their own insurance because, you know what, the amount of money is absolutely staggering, and it's getting worse under Obamacare, unfortunately. So
yeah.
All right. Well, great. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Shall we take a call from Jenny?
Sure.
Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good. What's
good.
Going on?
Okay, I got two quick things. Blue Cross, I don't trust them anymore. I'm with them, but I just found out from an insurance, health insurance agent that my insurance, sometime in 2015, possibly in July, is going to get all messed up. That I'm paying, you know, I'm paying for my supplement, okay? I do my part. And mine is going to go up. She couldn't tell me how much, but she said substantially. And I talked to another agent, and she said that the kind of supplement that I'm on, they're going up pretty soon to $300 to $800 a month.
Yeah. That's,
for people of my age.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's
it
not,
is. I can't afford it.
Yeah. What I don't want to pry, Jenny, again, and I think we've talked about this before. Age bracket, I don't want to nail you down.
No, but it's from, I forget the bottom age, but I've heard this on the radio more than once, that it's going to hit women from, I forget the bottom, but the top is through 64 years of age, and I fall into that age bracket.
Okay.
And it's going to hurt us the most.
Yeah. Well, seniors are getting pummeled by this Obamacare thing. It's hurting. So seniors, keep that out there. You really need to vote correctly come Election Day. We've got to take back the Senate. And that goes to Terry Lynn Land. I was talking to a gentleman today at soccer. My son had soccer today. And he doesn't like Terry Lynn Land because she's associated with the Koch brothers. And I tried to tell him that.
Oh, man, that Koch, ad is sick.
I know. I said, listen, the Koch brothers are 76 on the list of contributors. I said, 76. I said, don't let them be demonized by the media like that. I said, they're not the worst culprit. I said, there's the top 15 are all UAW and unions and the Electrical Brotherhood Union. It's unions that are their big culprits. It's not the evil Koch brothers that somebody is putting out there like that. So we need to support Terry Lynn Land. Just because she took a little money from the Koch brothers doesn't make her a bad person. It costs money to run for the U.S. Senate, folks. That's what it comes down to. And you know who's backing Gary Peters through one way or another? George Soros. Who's the real bad guy in this world? George Soros or the Koch brothers?
Okay, and I have one other thing to say real quick.
Go ahead.
I heard this on Breitbart News this morning. You know, Rick Perry is possibly running, looks like, for president in 2016. I just thought I'd throw this out there, that all the mess down in Texas right now, guess what he's doing?
Tell me. Right now,
he's not even in the state. He is in Iowa campaigning.
Well, if you're going to run for president, I guess you got to go to Iowa.
I don't see
the attraction, but yes.
He left the state with all this stuff going on. He should be down there.
Well, see, he had to fly to Iowa because there's going to be people there that will remind him of the three departments he's going to eliminate.
But I just want to throw that out there because, to me, that's treasonous. I mean, he's just thinking about himself when he's got all that stuff going on, the Ebola and everything, starting down in Texas and the open border. But he's, you know, he's doing for himself.
Right. Well, I haven't really paid attention. I know that he's got a good lieutenant governor. I actually like the lieutenant governor better because I think he's tougher than Rick Perry. He's not playing that game of running for president and blah, blah, blah. So he can speak a little tougher.
My point is it's irresponsible. It's like Obama going golfing when all these things are going on.
But that's what the president does. He golfs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just...
Yeah.
Thought I'd point that out.
Okay, great comments, Jenny.
That's a good point.
Okay. Yeah,
good to hear from you.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Okay, so let's get...
Hey, you know, this. I guess we just received something. He must have been listening.
Oh, what do we got?
Kim Jong-un was, you know, he does listen on the internet. Yes. That is a fact.
A lot of people do.
When he's not watching reruns of his favorite show, How I Met Your Mother, he is listening to The Drift.
Audio postcard? Is that what you're
saying? I think it is. Derek, is it?
Oh, absolutely. Let's run it.
Hello, Gary Wowing. Just wanted to touch base. Now, rumors going around about possible coup in Democratic People's Republic of Korea. As you can tell, nothing unusual going on here. Nothing to see here. I smash all rumors. I smash all opposition. I turn to Doggy Stew, anyone who opposed me. You may hear a little background noise, but this is common in Pyongyang. Just a typical Saturday evening. I welcome you Wound Eyes to come visit anytime. I show you around. We're very efficient in North Korea. No stalemate in Congress like you have in USA. And if worse comes to worse, I put finger on Nuki bomb. I just push it. What do I do now? Mao, come in here. Mao, I got to go, Gary Welling. Till next time.
Well, it seems under control.
Well, there you go. I guess he's still in control, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a little bit of discourse, you know, opposition once in a while kind of keeps everything fresh.
Got to stay fresh.
Got to stay fresh
and, with Un.
Well, you could hear the voice of the people.
As they die.
As they're being mowed down. Well, yes. You know, like you said, there's no stalemates over there.
Well, we laugh, but these kind of things happen. And there was a sister article to this, and this one's on The Daily Drift, so you can catch these stories at The Daily Drift. They also say his sister, which is surprising, is now kind of running things while he's in for medical treatment.
What a visual. I wonder if his sister looks just like him.
I haven't seen a picture.
I'm sure her name is Kim.
Because
everybody's name is Kim.
But here's the three reasons I said that could be the medical issue. The first was that he might have gout. Now, being a kind of a chubby guy, I think chubby people sometimes get gout. I'm not a doctor. I'm just everyone I know that has it has been slightly overweight. The second medical reason that he broke an ankle. I don't know how that would keep you from running the country. And the third was he had a little gastronomic problem because he ate too much cheese, which, again, it's a possibility.
That's a common ailment of our politicians.
Anyway, so North Korea, always a lot of fun. And it's good to hear from Kim Jong-un once again.
Yeah, I'm glad he's still out there kicking.
Maybe. Maybe he's not kicking, and that's why, you know.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, like what happened to his uncle being eaten by 120 dogs doesn't happen to our buddy Kim.
And we never see the time date stamps on these audio postcards, so God knows it could have been from, you know, a week ago or something.
Could have been, a week or two ago.
Okay, so let's move on to, let's start our conversation about Ebola, because I'm finding you're going from one extreme to the next. And what I find probably most disturbing is when people kind of downplay it too much, because I don't know that this is something we can just downplay. And Shepard Smith, who I think a lot of people watch on Fox News, kind of downplayed this. You have that track ready, Derek? Let's listen to what Shep Smith said in talking about Ebola. And at the time, he was talking about this first individual in Texas who now has Ebola.
I mean, I thought Shep Smith was out of line yesterday, but going on about how he didn't think that there should be all of this. Well, what did he say, Bigfoot?
We have it ready for you.
Fired up. Here's what Shep said yesterday. I love Shep.
You know, I get it that this is an unusual thing. It's an unprecedented thing. It's important for people to know about it. But, Doctor, what keeps striking me is there is nothing on earth people ought to be worrying about less right now, the vast majority of our audience, than this. It's not going to affect them.
Really?
Until it does.
Until it does. And so I guess what bothers me is the fact that it's not just the one guy who's got it now. It could be his entire family, which they have legally quarantined. It could be the EMT workers who responded, and they said he was throwing up all over the place. Right. Number one, it's any liquid coming out of the body, be it urine, feces, vomit, snot, spit, whatever, is possibly infectious. It's carrying the virus. So any... Well, we've talked about that before, too. But it could be anywhere. Anywhere in that area that he was around.
Is he covered by Obamacare?
Maybe. Well, he's isn't he a legal alien?
Oh, that's automatic.
So then
coverage.
He's automatic coverage. There you go. Because following that, and we put this all on the Drift again today, they have pictures at the Gateway Pundit of people near the apartment complex cleaning the streets of the Ebola vomit. All right? Now, I'm no doctor.
That would be the great name of a punk rock band.
Dude. Really?
Too soon?
Too soon. So, but here's what bothers me. I'm no doctor. I'm no scientist. But I do know that when you bring a new organism into an area that's never been exposed to it before. So here's a brand new continent that you're bringing this virus to.
Wide open territory.
Wide open. And these guys that were cleaning up the vomit and the mess are not wearing any suits. They're just power washing this. I mean, if you've ever used a power washer, you know what happens with a power washer. You've got stuff flying everywhere.
You know, this kind of reminds me of way back in the day, Saturday Night Live, when the original cast is on and you had Three Mile Island. Do you remember this? And Dan Aykroyd was playing Jimmy Carter, and he sends the maid in, Garrett Morris, dressed up as a woman to mop up the water. She becomes like a giant.
I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm on the inside, I'm crying simply because the total lack of preparation. Did not one person think, wow, that's like Ebola? And this is happening after they already knew that this guy's got a serious problem. Here's these bunch of, well, you know what? Maybe they just figured we're going to hire some illegals to go clean it up. Maybe that's what they think is okay. I don't know. But literally, so you now have Ebola virus-laden whatever flowing down into the storm drains, the storm sewers. We don't know what rats, cockroaches, frogs, whatever animals are in the sewer system or swamp that it goes to are going to be infected by that. What happens if it just so happens that a North American frog has a penchant for being a carrier of this Ebola virus? I'm just saying, the environment, they don't care. They're just, let's just wash it down the street and see what happens.
And then those frog legs are served.
They could be.
They could be.
They could be. That's what I'm saying. You may have just taken the entire ecosystem of that Texas area and destroyed it. We don't know what that virus, it's never been on this continent before other than in a controlled laboratory.
Right, and it's constantly changing and mutating, right?
Yes. A virus is like the most basic but almost a superior form of organism because it can adapt so quickly. And yet nobody's taking it serious. There's Shep Smith, who should be a smart guy. I mean, I sometimes find him to be a tad liberal for my blood, which automatically makes him dumber to me. But but I'm saying, does not anyone understand? Am I the only guy thinking that? Am I a retard for thinking that?
Well, it's the exponential growth of it too, because if you expose 100 people, then they expose 100 people each, and it just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's good and bad. I mean, if you have a 21-day incubation period, there's probably several days in there where you may not know that you quite have that sweats or whatever going on, and you may be infecting other people and not know it because you're not sick enough yet.
Right. And the thing, too, is, you know, we're all focused on this one guy because we're aware of him. There could be hundreds, if not thousands, since him that have come into the country that have been exposed.
Yeah.
Because every day there's tens of thousands, if not more, visitors to this country, millions. Every year. And you don't know where every single person has been or who they've talked to and who they've been with. So because of the constant travel, the world is so much smaller because of this. Who knows? I mean, there could be some guy walking up State Street right now with the Ebola virus.
Sure.
Because he talked to a student who's from wherever, who talked to, who got in touch with. Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, they're talking about, there's a guy in Washington, D.C. right now who... they're testing, but they haven't come up with the test results yet. And the same with Hawaii. They've got another one. So it boggles my mind that people can do that. We'll continue this conversation when we come back from the break. See you on the other side.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Cassie Wilson. ISIS terrorists releasing a fourth video showing the brutal beheading of British aid worker Alan Henning. The Blaze Radio's Brad James has more.
In that same video, ISIS saying an American will be next. The Obama administration's reaction, much of the same. The president's top Homeland Security advisor, Lisa Monaco.
The president has articulated and is moving out in a comprehensive way to degrade and destroy ISIL.
Former Republican Governor Mike Huckabee saying the president's strategy clearly not working.
I haven't talked to a single military person, whether they're Air Force, infantry, or Navy for that matter, who thinks that you can win this war against ISIS with airstrikes alone. It requires both an airstrike, and it requires that softens up the target in order to go in and finish up and mop it up with ground forces.
Huckabee on Fox News.
The parents of an Indiana man, the next ISIS says it will behead, are pleading with their son's captors to free him. Paula Kassig in a video speaking directly to her son, Peter.
Please know that we are all praying for you and your safe return. Most of all, know that we love you.
Kassig becoming a hostage a little over a year ago. He was in Syria providing aid for refugees. Judge Clay Lewis Jenkins says county and city employees in Dallas are very brave in caring for family members of a Texas Ebola patient. Speaking by phone today during a CDC news conference, the judge saying misinformation is leading to many people not understanding how the Ebola virus spreads.
I've even had first responders expressing concern for me yesterday before I got into the truck and having to get the medical staff to explain to them there's zero risk to me to help this family.
Jenkins saying members of the faith community helped move a woman and three unidentified young men to a new temporary home at an undisclosed location. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The St. Mary Annual Fall Fest Craft Show, Raffle, and Bake Sale with an appearance by mystery author Richard L. Baldwin with his new mystery Murder at the Stadium will take place Saturday, October 18th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission is $2. Children 13 and under are free. It'll be at the St. Mary Parish Center, 14200 East Old U.S. Highway 12 in Chelsea. For more information, call 734-433-1790. Join Abolitionist Roundtable of Michigan host Dell and Phil for the 4th Annual Fall Group Tour of the Holocaust Memorial Center, Zekelman Family Campus, 28123 Orchard Lake Road in Farmington Hills, Friday, November 7th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. The cost is $20 per person. To learn more, call 866-343-6404 extension 4 or visit artofmichigan.com. Elevate Concert Series presents a free concert at Whitmore Lake Elementary School. The concert will take place at 1077 Barker Road, which is the Whitmore Lake Elementary School, on November 14th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Elevate Concert Series is presented by Planet 4U Events and sponsored by La Vega Productions. The goal of Elevate is to build community and create an energetic, positive atmosphere for young people in and around the Whitmore Lake area by generating family-friendly events that help create an overall sense of fun and excitement about getting involved locally. For more information about Elevate, call 734-945-2532 or email planet4uevents@gmail.com.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enna Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham! Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift here on Wham! Talk 1600.
Ebola, bola. Bola, bola.
Ebola.
Ebola, bola.
I'm glad you and I can keep our... You know, if you're not laughing, you're crying.
Exactly.
So, Let's mention this as our sponsor for the half hour. Firing Line on October 5th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Firing Line in, I think that's in Westland, right?
Yes, it is.
Ford Road, yes, mm-hmm. in Westland. From 4 to 8, they're having their first annual Mission Smoking Barbecue. It's to support Michigan veterans. So there you go. It's a great event. They're going to have a barbecue dinner, raffles, an outdoor cigar bar sponsored by Genuine Cigars. There'll be door prizes, silent auction. The ranges will be open for shooting. This is a non-alcohol family event, so there'll be no beers or anything to go with those cigars.
Yeah, just run out to your car and slug back a few.
Guns and alcohol, kids, do not mix.
Unless you're in the mafia. At a card party.
At a card party. Tickets are on sale. You can contact the Firing Line at, do they have a phone number? I'm looking for the phone number. 734-326-7320. Or you can go to the Firing Line and buy tickets there.
And that's 33,000 Ford Road in Westland.
Yeah, see, you had it right going. That's perfect. Okay. So are we done with Ebola? Anything else we want to talk about? We do have a... Hold on. We got a... Let's take a call from John in Farmington Hills. John, shoot. What do you got?
Hey, you guys. Those ISIS guys in Africa have already said that they're going to, since they're bombers, you know, suicide bombers, they're going to infect themselves with Ebola and come over here and spread it.
Yeah, well...
The thing is, we got to do like Britain. It's just nobody out, nobody in on the borders. This stuff is... one guy got it off the bumper of a car in the 70s. He was working and his or into his thigh, and he had it. So it doesn't need a living host. And it's like the Black Death, like the plague. It'll just, it's a flesh-eating virus.
Yeah, well, that's good. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. These guys could easily infect themselves. I mean, they're going to die. They want to die. That's the cult of death. That's what ISIS is. So why wouldn't they just decide to go get the infection somewhere and then scoop back out of the country, grab a plane to Paris, and then come to the United States and go to the buffet or the salad bar? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or they could just go to one of the coffee shops, and you know when they hand you your coffee, they always have their hand all over the lid?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, then they could take a job at one of the restaurants. Yeah, it makes you want to laugh, but it's not. This is not a laughing matter. I'm not trying to make
light of it. I don't know why
I'm
laughing about it. I mean, it's a terrible thing. I guess
the
news...
It's stress, dude. I am so stressed about this Ebola and this ISIS thing. And, you know, and John, thank you very much, because it's a good segue. We're going to be talking about ISIS next here, if we can ever get off this Ebola thing. See, you and I are freaked out about it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, you hear this stuff all week long, and by the weekend... You know, especially when you and I get together, it's we have some...
We de-stress on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we're slap happy to a certain degree.
Yeah, this show for us is a cathartic response, I think, for us. We're lucky to be able to do this, and that's why we invite you as listeners to call in and make your comments and ask your questions. And not that I have answers all the time, but for me, this is a way to unload. This is a way for me to vent.
We're laughing on the outside and crying on the inside.
Yes. Absolutely, yes. We are. We're all doomed.
Was that the cartoon
Gulliver's Travels?
I love that show as a kid.
That's Glum.
Glum. Yeah.
Glum. We'll never make it.
Yeah, that's all he ever said.
Yeah.
We're all doomed. We'll never make it.
So it's true. Let's talk about ISIS, because they did last night behead the fourth guy, this time another Brit journalist who was doing some other things and helping out over there. Don't go there. That's all I can tell people. Stop going there.
And they've got an American held now. They say he's next, and he's like an ambulance driver in Syria, or he was.
Yeah.
Former Army Ranger, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, went over there to help. And that's what's disgusting about these vermin, these despicable, barbaric pieces of subhuman filth that call themselves ISIS, whatever, ISIL. They're dirt bags, each and every one of them. And anyone that supports them or who doesn't speak up against them, you know what? You're partly to blame, because there's no room in this world, on this planet, for that kind of a person. Those people all need to be eliminated, executed, taken off the planet by heck or high water or whatever. They need to go away.
Yeah, I mean, there's not one single redeeming thing you can say about them. Anything about them that's decent.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda, in that area.
Yeah.
You know, same kind of thing. Just a culture of death, and they're scumbags.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know what, it's one thing to execute somebody to make a point. These people are not just executed. These are not beheadings where they're taking the big knife or the big sword and lopping somebody's head off. I mean, that's a legitimate form. That the guillotine was a legitimate form of execution back in the day, I guess. Well, I won't say legitimate, but it was quick. It was painless. These people are looking for the horror factor. They are looking to scare us. They're looking to scare the opposition. They are looking to terrorize us, which makes them terrorists.
These and that's people, how they leverage their limited number of people that they have.
Yes.
And they it's when they come into a town, it's like, you better join. I mean, it's almost like, you better join them or you're next.
Right.
There's no in between.
Yeah, and there's only one. It's basic bullying is what it comes down to.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's terrorizing submission.
Yeah. And so the people in that part of the world, you know what? You better get up off your duffs and don't take this from these people. Get whatever guns, knives you have to, and you tear those people limb from limb when you catch them. You catch an ISIS person in your neighborhood over there, for the love of God, take that person out and utterly destroy him. And do to him what they will do to you and your family. You got to stand up and take that, because, you know, it's better to die on your feet than to die on your knees. And that's the only choice you're being given over there. You better fight or you're going to die in a horrible, horrible fashion.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting because in a culture like that, let's take Syria, for example, you know, it almost lends credence to Assad and the others, the dictators that say, hey, you either get me or you get these people. And that seems to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a myth or Western propaganda or their propaganda. It seems to be reality.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah, well, at least Assad wears a suit and is not beheading people publicly. I mean, I'm sure he killed a number of opposition people in probably terrible fashion. But he's not beheading innocent people slowly with a butter knife like these guys seem to be doing. I mean, it's a horror effect. Let's take that track, Derek. That's track two. Let's just do the news because it'll bring us up to speed on this.
Alan Henning, a British volunteer aid worker purportedly slain by the Islamic State militant group.
This British man has to pay the price for your promise, Cameron.
Was described by friends as a hardworking family man who felt compelled to help people suffering from the civil war in Syria. Henning had joined an aid convoy and was taken captive on December 26th.
Okay, so just another innocent guy helping, and they decide to execute him to prove a point that, Cameron, you shouldn't be bombing us because this is what we'll do to your people. The next guy is an American who they've had prisoner for a while now, and he's already converted to being a Muslim. Now, maybe he was coerced into that, I don't know. But you're killing your own Muslim. The guy converted. Really? So you're not even going to bother giving him the option of living after he's converted? You already forced your nasty religion on him, and that you're going to kill him anyways just to prove a point and make us, you know what, we're not suffering for it. It's a terrible thing. The family will suffer.
Well, that's the whole thing, you know, when these people are over there talking about Muslims, there's a wide range of definition of what's a Muslim, because a Sunni is going to say a Shia is not a Muslim, and vice versa. And then there's different levels of extremism within the Sunni, you know, or Shiite community. So if you're an ISIS person, you might say an Al-Qaeda person's not a real Muslim because they're not extreme enough in your eyes.
Right.
And certainly anybody that's normal or somewhat decent is a Sunni, they're going to view as not a Muslim at all, as a traitor.
Right. Yeah, I think what it comes down to is societal education. You know, we used to have very strong Catholics in this country. That's diminished quite a bit because, you know, there's a ton of Catholics who are not following the rules of Catholicism.
Or never go to church.
Or never go to church.
I'm a Catholic because maybe that's their parents' work.
Yes. And I hope, maybe I'm just dreaming, I would hope that in 100 years or 50 years that these jihadis, their children's children will become educated enough at some point to say, you know, that beheading thing really isn't really cool. Maybe we should stop doing that.
But wouldn't you think we would be there right now based on it being the 21st century? It seems to be regressing.
I think in that part of the world, they're not, though. I don't know that they ever. They may have had the trappings of an occasional TV or running water, but I don't think they ever came out of the Stone Age society.
The British guy, the British jihadist, I mean, he's from Britain. That's cutting these heads off. So these are just cult-like psychopaths.
Yeah, well, I think that's the clue, too. I think Westerners that join and go to the extent that these Beatles, I think they call the four main British guys that went over there, the
right.
Beatles. I think Jihadi John or whatever his name is, I think that guy is a mental case. I think he's a criminally insane dirtbag who shouldn't
And he's
even
getting
be alive.
His 15 minutes of fame.
He's getting his 15 minutes of fame. He probably cut the heads off of small animals as a child. He's probably just one of those sick, criminal-minded people that should not have ever been allowed on the street and should have been. I'm all up for execution. Sorry, I'm a capital punishment guy. People like that need to be removed from the gene pool. And I hope when they I hope the right people catch this guy, and I hope it's not a Western government that catches him. I hope it's the people, local people who don't believe in ISIS catch him, and I hope they rip him to shreds.
I hope a Kurd catches him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go Kurds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're part of that to blame. And the big news this week, another Obama, ex-Obama figure, Leon Panetta, who was serving as the Secretary of Defense, I think, released his book. So he's following the footsteps of Robert Gates. These guys are coming out of working for the government and writing books and making money. And God bless them. If it's an interesting story, I'll pay for it and I'll read it. And, you know, they earned it, I guess. But he's talking about the failures of the Obama administration. And oddly enough, so is Joe Biden. So I want to talk about what Joe Biden said today. Now, you know how I was calling foot and mouth Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to somebody about what the Turkish president said to him, obviously in private, and said that the Turkish prime minister said, "Ooh, I should have sealed the border sooner. We let a bunch of people in that we shouldn't have." Well, now the Turkish president is saying, "I never said that. You owe me an apology. Don't be talking like that." Well, it probably did happen, but Joe is too stupid to keep it private, and so he spoke up about it. Well, he also had a speech this week. Derek, do we have Joe's? Let's run with this. You're going to love this.
And in a globalized world, threats as diverse as terrorism and pandemic disease cross borders at blinding speeds.
Really?
The sheer rapidity and magnitude, the interconnectedness of the major global challenges demand a response, a different response, a global response, involving more players, more diverse players than ever before. This has all led to a number of immediate crises that demand our attention, from ISIL to Ebola to Ukraine, just to name a few that are on our front door. As someone said to me earlier this week, the wolves closest to the door. Each one in its own way is symptomatic of the fundamental changes that are taking place in the world. These changes have also led to larger challenges. The international order that we painstakingly built after World War II and defended over the past several decades is literally fraying at the seams right now.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joe, for telling us that and admitting the failures of you and your boss over the last 6 years, because things have gotten very bad since Obama took office.
Yeah, except he's not really blaming himself or his boss.
I think that's the Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's just these things happen.
They happen because you and your boss, President Barack Hussein Obama, have allowed them to happen. You walked away from Iraq to get your people out because it was a politically good thing for you to do, so you think.
I don't make decisions.
Thank you, Mr. Brady Hoke.
Because,
just like Brady Hoke, Obama and Biden are in so far over their head.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
The problem is, we
can't just end Barack's contract and scoot him out the door with a paycheck, you know? I wish we could, but we can't. Anyways, Leon Panetta came out and stated something very similar, except he was smart enough to know what he was saying. Do we got track four, Derek? Okay, here we go.
ISIS seized a third of Iraq that had been secured by the United States after 10 years of sacrifice. Tonight, in an interview for 60 Minutes, former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta says that ISIS flourished because the U.S. got involved in Syria too late and left Iraq too soon. Back when you watched the Stars and Stripes being lowered for the last time in Baghdad, were you confident in that moment that pulling out was the right thing to do?
No, I wasn't. I really thought that it was important for us to maintain a presence in Iraq.
But the elected Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki didn't want the U.S. force.
Okay. So there you go. Right from inside the administration, Obama was being told by people, it's not the right thing to do. And yet?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, I'll just throw in that apparently al-Maliki and the Iranian government were not going to give our soldiers stationed there immunity so that, you know, they could accuse one of our guys of doing whatever, and he would be in an Iraqi prison and an Iraqi, quote, justice system,
right,
which is unacceptable.
Right.
So now, am I saying that Obama couldn't have stood up to this moron Maliki and said, you know what, I don't give a damn what you say. This is the way it's going to be, so play ball with us. But the Iranians, they kind of control Maliki to a certain degree.
Right.
They did.
So let's listen to this next track, Derek, because you hit it right on the head. Did we have more control than what...
We're America!
We're America.
Do we have any power left?
We absolutely do, without Obama. Go ahead and run that next one, Derek.
Of course he couldn't have left U.S. troops behind in Iraq without legal immunity. That's absolutely true. But what they leave out is what Leon Panetta is now writing, is that he and others were privately urging the president, you have leverage with Nouri al-Maliki, then the Iraqi prime minister, threatened to cut off U.S. aid to Iraq. He desperately needed that at the time, and you could get a deal here. And so Panetta is adding new layers to that story. He's saying on Syria, the president's been, his policies have been about hesitation and half steps. These are cutting deep for this White House because the president is now has the country back at war, and some of his former top officials are really ripping into it.
Yeah, so exactly. We had the power to make that deal happen, and Barack said no.
Now, spineless.
Why? Yeah, spineless. Because, or he didn't want to make the deal because he wanted to be able to say, I ended the war. Look, we're all done in Iraq, and I brought all the guys home. We're no longer at war.
And a lot of the American people were like lemmings on that whole bandwagon,
yes,
from the time he announced his candidacy as president.
Yes.
Get out of Iraq. Get out of Iraq.
Let's take a call from Ken in Livonia. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. One thing I keep hearing people talk about that we have to hope for within Islam is a reformation similar to what the Christians went through. And I say, no, that's not what you want. Because in the case of Christianity, the whole idea was is that since the same God who created the heavens and the earth is the author of the Bible, it was intended so that we study the Bible, get closer to what God wants. The problem with Islam is that there's a lot of people who disagree with this. If you're a follower of Islam, the devil is the author of the Quran and the teachings of Islam. And if you have someone that studies the Quran and the rest of the teachings of Islam and becomes a true follower, a devout follower, you're just going to see more and more beheadings, more and more killings, more and more acts of violence, because this is exactly what the Quran and Islam teaches.
Yeah. I tell you what, when people talk about moderates, I wish, Ken, that there was. I hope that there is. I don't know that I believe that there are moderate Muslims who don't believe in at least the soft jihad, the ruination of Western culture and civilization and the replacement of it with Sharia, because they don't stand up. You get one or two, I think, that you'll see on Fox News that seem to be moderate Muslims, and maybe they are. Maybe there's, you can't paint everybody with that brush. I'm sure there are Muslims who don't believe in the supremacy of Islam. I don't know where there are, but I'm sure there are some.
But if you study the Quran, and if you understand their teachings on the doctrine of abrogation, there cannot be a moderate Muslim. It's not possible, because you have to understand, and I have read and studied the Quran, all these teachings that Muhammad made in the early days when he didn't have an army, those teachings of peace and tolerance, are abrogated. Now you must obey the teachings that occur now in the Quran after he built up his army that deal with death and violence. And so you cannot be a nonviolent Muslim. It's not possible if you are following the teachings of the Quran and the rest of the books of Islam.
Yeah, but you've got to admit that there are obviously are probably, I can't tell you how many, Ken. It could be half a dozen. There are probably some Muslims who don't believe in much of the Quran, who don't follow much of the Quran, who may only go as lip service to mosque on Fridays, just like there are people who pay lip service basically when they go to Catholic Church on Sundays. There are some. I can't tell you how many. But either way, I think you're right. When it comes down to the Muslim faith, the people in control are the hardcore jihadists.
Well, like, you know, the ISIS people or Al-Qaeda people, mm-hmm. or, you know, Iranian Revolutionary Guard types in the Shiite side and Hezbollah, you know, those would argue the same thing that Ken's arguing, that unless you follow the Quran literally and do these violent things, then you're not a true Muslim. So they would consider those Muslims that consider themselves Muslims but not following all of these violent things to be not true Muslims.
Yeah, they would be infidels. Right. Yeah.
And I see you in a Christian church today. Now, I'm a Christian, but I no longer approve of the teachings of any of the current Christian churches around the world, whether it's Catholic, Protestants, Evangelicals, and Lutherans, because when I go back to the core teachings of the Bible, which I've seen was taught, if you go back to the Lutheran confessions, which goes back to 1580, so that's a long time ago. Those confessions agree with what was taught back in the 4th century by the ancient church. And so as a student of the scriptures, I would identify as that is the correct interpretation, the correct teachings of scripture. Problem is today people have fallen away from scripture and they've allowed men to add things.
Yeah.
They've allowed men to take away things from the Bible. And as someone who is a strong student, you know, going back to the original languages in my studies, like I said, if you go back to the 4th century, you can see when the church polished its doctrine. When you go back to the Lutheran confessions back in, like I said, 1580, when the Lutherans, who were all clergy, had repolished the scriptures. That you can see as being the proper understanding of Scripture.
Right.
But well, over the last 500 years, again, it's gotten messed up. It's gotten corrupt.
Yeah, things change over time.
Ken, does this mean I won't see you at the Mormons for Rick Snyder rally tonight?
No, you won't see me.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Great points as always. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, you too. Let's take a last call from Walter in Belleville. Walt, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Hey, hey, guys.
Hey, Walter.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Kind of kept me on the line, been busy since, and power outage and all that kind of stuff. But look here, man, this thing about ISIL and ISIS, let's take a trip down memory lane. Bush created all this foolishness that's going over there now. You know, let's not forget that Bush is the one. One thing he got in common with Barack Obama, besides economics, is Bush called him a religion of peace, and I think he still stands firm on that.
Yeah, I think he was wrong on that too, Walt. It is not a religion of peace by any stretch of the man. Appreciate the phone call. Sorry, we're wrapping up quick on you. Call us again, Walt. Want to hear from you again.
I'll call back sooner, next week.
All right, you take care.
All right.
Okay, till next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Great call today. Great show.
Great show. It's fun as always. Great callers.
Thank you all. We'll see you next week.